In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The lesson begins today from just a point that I iterated from the Christmas that he said today from just 3 weeks ago, and I called him right back to the Gospel of Luke of today. And that is the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Primarily, it's not the story of Jesus' tomb, it's not the sixth appearance, the sixth story of Jesus appearing back to his disciples after the resurrection. The primary evidence of the resurrection of the Lord is the living presence of the risen Lord in our lives. And that is one of the promises of baptism, of the sacrament and outside of in the grace. For all of our lives, we will have the living presence of Jesus in our life. We might not always feel it. We might not always have the religious experience, but we will always have a sense of it. We call this, as we heard in the hymn last Sunday, the blessed experience of his presence in our lives. And so, we are a unique faith. Christianity is a living faith. It is not based on the teachings of Jesus, as important as they are. It is not based on the imitation of Christ or every Christian who walks in Scripture. It is not based on the beautiful traditions of the church. Okay, he hangs his book here, don't he? It's based, of course, on the very, very presence of Jesus and with the living presence of the risen Lord in our lives. Then, yes, the teaching and the imitation of Christ and the scripture come alive and they move somewhere. And so, today, we talk about the last two Sundays, which then become the sixth soul of the risen Lord appearing in Christ, because they do mean something. And they give us such encouragement to recognize that living Christ in our lives. So the first two Sundays of Jesus, I think they had a vision from the Gospel of John. Mary Magdalene and the Gospel of John by herself, and he sees our Lord, not knowing who he is, and remembering she called the garden, and so he said her name, and her eyes were open. And then, lastly, there is a man story of Valley Song. Both he meets the Gospel of John. So then, he goes to St. Luke to see how he looked at the resurrection. That's possible. And some might say that's why it's exciting to John, but has much to tell. This is the first apparition of the Gospel of Luke. The first, the cool person, he has very magical gifts of other women, comes to the tomb of Christ to respect the Lord's body, and they find the empty tomb. And they find two angels saying, why do you go to the dead and not go to the living? He is living. And he goes and tells the disciples. And there's a second story in Luke. We don't hear it this year. It's the story of Emmaus. The day of the resurrection, two defeated followers of Jesus, not one of the 12 followers, three unnamed followers, maybe his wife, a brother, a friend, walking home defeated. But they have heard an idle tale about possibly the women sitting in an empty tomb. But they were discouraged, and Jesus with them. They don't recognize him. And Jesus can't tell them about the Holy Scriptures. Now, to me, that's the Bible, when our Lord is walking in peace. And then there's constantly walking, so after this tape with them, Jesus is in the breaking of the bread that their eyes open, Peter raising the water. And then he comes to the day after the day's story. And Luke, this is the first time that Jesus appears to all 12 of his disciples. And it says they were terrified that the believed they were seeing a ghost. So he does things that to give them calm. You know, Jesus always says, doesn't he? Peace be with you. Do not be anxious. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. More anxious. And he says, peace be with you to the disciples. And then he said, look at my hands and my feet, the scars, the ghosts don't have these. Maybe he's a world sick. And they were amazed. And there's something different in this story that differentiates itself from John. And John was the great disciple, what did he do? He breathed out in the Holy Spirit. But Luke follows the book of Acts from the Bible too. That the Holy Spirit was 50 days after the resurrection. We call that the story of Pentecost. You know, here you have to read the Holy Spirit and open your mind to understand the Scripture. How does that work? So you open your mind and tell them the Scripture says. So the five months after God is born again, the witnesses of the things go and tell. How beautiful story is coming up, this apparition story. Some years ago, in my parish, preparing for a confirmation for the visit of the Bishop of Middle Age woman, who had been a faithful church woman, church all her life, somehow they missed confirmation. So she took the class, and now, at the same time, the confirmation class, I'll often say to you and all of us before grace each day or sacrament, expect them! This is the fact that it's not something wrong. Well, afterwards, the Christ came privately, motherly, challenging this a little bit. She said, Father, I have been a faithful person all my life, and I always will be. But I have never had a religious experience. My friends have had visions and warm feelings and all these things. I've never had any. And so, I mean, it's too pragmatic and essential. But I didn't mean a lot to me that I know some great religious experience. But it's a commitment I'm looking at. And so the day happened, she confirmed, who was afraid to be anything? And she said, oh, I have a religious experience for the first time. It's the other time I'm sick, this is it. And the whole world was looking. And she said, well, another confession before I start, she said, all my life, again, in the church, I have to confess, I have never understood the Bible. And she said, I've never cared to even walk through, really. She said, I come to church, and when they read the school record, my life was to me. And I said, one time I longed to see a lady, and she said, that might help. But it didn't. So she said, I've always gone to church and told this, and constantly I told her the word, and it worked out. So she said, something happened. After my confirmation, I have an interest, even a curiosity, even a hunger, to read the Bible. She said, I've always studied the Bible, the Lord of class. To me, this is a miracle. This is a religious experience. I shared the story today with her. That happens with the Bible. She opened their minds to understand the Scripture. Say, oh, I have a beautiful line in front of the temple. The Holy Spirit is one of the God of the Holy Spirit. It's a combined spiritual plot to go to the spiritual world. So often when we read the Bible, and like all the wrong people are happening, we'll hear a sermon and anything else. The spiritual plot combined. But it was just a beautiful thing. And I believe that the promise of the disciple for them is also a promise to you and me. And the point of this sermon today is really a simple point, more than appreciation. For the formula of the Mass, when you think about it, since the beginning of the church, whether Mass is celebrated in little rooms or folding tables, in the cathedral of all the appointments, it always follows the same formula. There's a beginning, there's the first half of the sentence, and the service of the Word, where the scripture is chanted, read, sung, preached, interpreted, and then the service continues with the service of the meal, breaking up the bread, and the promise that the presence of Christ in us already becomes quickened, alive, and blessed for the receiving of the meal. And what Christ proposed in this appreciation is for us to consider returning back to an old Anglican tradition. I think we do it already. And that is, the Old Testament was routine to a church on Sunday. Before sitting down, we would kneel to pray. And basically, the prayer here is going to know the love and the preaching of the word, the reading of the word, and the breaking of the bread. Let's say the grace before a meal. And say that prayer open that custom every night we attend. And the word just opens it up more to the Holy Spirit of love. And what it's the miracle of what it's about. So blessed be since this apparition story is not the most popular of us, but maybe may Christ be known to us in the reading of the word. Amen.